It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. President Trump issued an executive order this month directing federal agencies to increase timber production and exclude projects from environmental reviews.
That could have an impact on the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest in Wisconsin, which is already one of the top timber-producing national forests in the country.
The Environmental Law and Policy Center is among the groups concerned about the order. Senior policy advocate Andy Olson told WPR it's a harmful combination with Forest Service staffing cuts.
There'd be even less opportunity to police and enforce standards for forest protection by staff.
We're checking in on the environmental and business impacts on Wisconsin's logging industry, as well as a Trump administration threat of tariffs on lumber.
Danielle Kading is a reporter covering the environment in northern Wisconsin based at WPR's Superior Bureau. Danny, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me on.
So what exactly does this executive order from the Trump administration do? How does it clear the way for additional logging projects here in our state?
Yeah, so the order directs federal agencies to do a number of things. President Trump is asking the secretaries for the Departments of Interior and Agriculture to submit a plan that sets a target for the amount of timber sold each year on federal lands. And he's also asking for updated guidance to boost logging through agreements or contracts with states and other groups. And he wants agencies to take steps to make it easier to log under federal laws that protect endangered species and the environment.
So what have you heard around Wisconsin? What have you learned about how this executive order could affect Wisconsin forests?
Yeah, it's not super clear how this could affect federal lands or the Shawamigan-Nicolet in Wisconsin, but we do know that close to 10% of Wisconsin's roughly 17 million acres of forest land is federally owned. And the Shawamigan-Nicolet is Wisconsin's only national forest. It spans about 1.5 million acres across northern Wisconsin. So there's concern among environmental and conservation groups that this would be kind of a return to clear cutting of the past. But the industry says that this could be a benefit for forest health.
Yes, we heard in the president's executive order, sound forest management and the U.S. becoming more self-reliant. If ramping would ramp up here in Wisconsin, would the U.S. become more self-reliant in the logging industry?
That is a good question. I think it's kind of hard to guess. We know that Canada is a top supplier of lumber to the nation. They make up almost half. So it kind of depends on the capability of the mills and the workforce to handle any increased logging.
And Danny, what is this relationship between the state of Wisconsin and the federal government when it comes to managing our state's national forest?
Yeah, so roughly a decade ago, or in 2015, the state and the Forest Service signed what's called a Good Neighbor Authority Agreement, and that allowed the state to help manage the Shawamigan-Nicolet, and that included timber sales. And so the state's been managing an average of 25 million board feet of timber each year under that deal. But there's a question over whether the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources could help any more than it already is. And the Shawamigan-Nicolet is already, as you said, one of the top timber producing forests.
We're talking about Wisconsin's logging and energy industries as the Trump administration seeks to roll back environmental protections. We have WPR reporter Danielle Kading, who covers the environment. Danny, part of the support for increasing timber production is concerns over wildfires like the ones that we saw devastating California earlier this year. Can you make that connection for us? How more logging could reduce wildfire risk?
Yeah, well, President Trump and logging advocates say, you know, if you cut more timber, then there's simply less that could be fuel for wildfires. And in our state, they've pointed to diseases like emerald ash borer that have decimated trees or extreme storms that have caused blowdowns. And they're basically saying that that's just leaving more deadwood that's vulnerable to, you know, going up in flames. But scientists have long said that it's not poor management driving these wildfires, but drought conditions and extreme heat from climate change.
And so if we're clear-cutting forests because of some of this executive order, would that also have an impact here on Wisconsin's environment and the potential for wildfires?
That is a good question. I mean, if you're cutting more timber in the forest, there's going to be less there, right? But I mean, the Forest Service already conducts prescribed burns mm-hmm. to try and keep a handle on that.
The season is underway.
Yeah. They just announced that recently. And so I think there's this kind of this approach of, you know, wanting to keep everything in balance, right? You have the goal of trying to, you know, produce a lot of revenue from timber sales on the forest, but then you also have these goals of maintaining an ecological balance and protecting the environment, water quality, wildlife habitat. And so you're trying to kind of balance all these different factors together when considering, you know, management, including for wildfires.
You mentioned Canada being a leader in logging, largest supplier of lumber to the U.S. And you talked to the head of Kretz Lumber in Antico, which is a global supplier, specializes in premium northern hardwood lumber. And Kretz president Troy Brown is concerned about the possibility of retaliatory tariffs on lumber that they export.
That is where our product ends up being tariffed by the consuming country, and they have to then absorb a higher cost for our product.
How are companies like Troy's navigating this uncertainty over tariffs?
You know, I think businesses right now are just trying to do the best they can with these on again, off again tariffs. The uncertainty has certainly caused lumber prices to fluctuate up and down. You know, since we saw the introduction of these tariffs beginning in February, and then they were paused, and then they were introduced again, and then paused again. And so, you know, some lumber groups say companies are dealing with hoarding by customers or delayed orders, and all of that volatility can just affect the cost of materials for home construction. And the National Association of Home Builders projects that uncertainty has caused costs to go up more than $9,000 per home. So that's not good news for people looking to buy since prices were already high.
So with this, the president's executive order is a directive. What are you watching for next with Wisconsin's logging industry?
Well, you know, tariffs on Canada could resume mm-hmm. in early April, so that could certainly have an effect on the industry if Canada slaps on more retaliatory tariffs, because more than half the state's wood products go to Canada, and, you know, between $800 and $900 million is exported each year in terms of wood and paper products to that nation. And, you know, as far as the order, Trump wants federal agencies to issue updated guidance by April as well on tools to ramp up logging. So I guess we'll see what they say then.
You have also been writing about the Trump administration rolling back environmental protections for air pollution. Are those changes a similar way to the executive order on forests, or is this a different approach here?
Yeah, so this one comes from Trump's new EPA administrator, Lee Zeldin, and it's part of around 30 rules that the agency is rolling back. And I guess the similar thread here is that these moves were made with benefiting the economy in mind rather than protecting the environment. Zeldin has said that these regulations put in place by former presidents Joe Biden and Barack Obama have suffocated the nation's economy. But supporters say, you know, it's strengthening public health and reducing damages from climate change.
And can you remind us of the energy mix here in Wisconsin, and how could those EPA pollution rollbacks affect energy production?
Around a third of the state's energy mix is from coal. Mm-hmm. And that's according to the most recent federal data. Around 43% is natural gas. And so what we've been seeing is, you know, utilities have been taking part in the clean energy transition. They're trying to shift away from coal to other sources like wind and solar, but they've delayed those plans. We've seen utilities like We Energies and Alliant Energy delay plans to close coal units, and they're pointing to growing energy demand from things like data centers and concerns about the reliability of the grid. So you know, if they keep these coal or natural gas resources on as part of their power mix longer, we're going to see more share of the state's carbon emissions or greenhouse gas emissions coming from burning fuels to produce electricity.
And these changes are also affecting vehicle emissions. You've also reported on the Trump administration pausing federal funding for EV infrastructure and Governor Evers putting pressure on Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy to release that funding. Where does all this leave Wisconsin's EV industry and the future of these charging stations?
Well, in kind of the same situation as the lumber companies, I guess it's just a lot of uncertainty, right? I mean, for EVs right now, that's over funding, over projects. You know, Wisconsin was set to receive a total of more than $78 million in federal funding for charging stations. They stand to lose out on roughly, I think it's 55 or 56 million that the state had yet to receive. So that places all of these projects that were going to receive those funds, which were going to go to private businesses, that puts them in limbo.
As we close out here, you talked with this physician who told you that the relaxing of pollution standards would save power companies some money, but it's Wisconsin residents who would ultimately pay. What is meant by that?
I'm sorry, Kate. Could you say that again?
Oh, I was just, you had talked with a physician who had said that, you know, relaxing these standards, ultimately it's Wisconsin residents who are going to pay the price. Is that to health? Is that to something else?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I think what they were talking about is that they're going to end up paying in terms of their health. Mm. We've seen some of the costs of these regulations. I think it was like roughly $19 billion that the American Lung Association said that if we shift to like zero emission transportations, we could save that much in terms of health benefits. Mm. So you might pay related to your utility bills, or you might pay related to your health. And it's kind of maintaining a balance between those two as to how can we, you know, maintain our economy while also protecting people's public health.
Danny, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Kate.
Danielle Kading is a WPR reporter covering the environment in northern Wisconsin based at the Superior Bureau.
Coming up on Wisconsin Today, Waupun Prison could become a vocational village under a plan from Governor Evers. Michigan pioneered these programs in the skilled trades.
These programs do make a difference. They give people the necessary skills to be able to go out and find a job and keep a job.
Job readiness after prison, that's ahead on WPR News.